Let's go to the word Mark chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. I'll read one verse and you follow. Verse 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciple and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. No. He pours new wine into new wineskin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you and we ask for your grace and mercy, and give us the heart of hunger and thirst and waiting upon you to feed us and feed us abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and people watching Jesus, and look what he has done, and they try to find something, verify something, to make sure that Jesus had done accordingly. And we can tell that these are the disciples of John the Baptist, and also the disciples of the Pharisees. See, disciples means student or followers after somebody. And they are still in the learning process. They want to learn to mold themselves and hopefully become a very well-established mold. And from this model, then they will be able to observe and understand other issues or objects, and then start to form their own value, the view of value, maybe the view of life, or even the view of this world, and the value of eternity. This is a very natural way for human, you and I. We also follow the same pattern. And this learning process, from one side, we are learning something new, but start forming that model that can become our bondage. Or we put it that way, is in a box, within a frame. And this later form a view for us. And this can turn into, if not the right direction, can turn into prejudice. And we try to use a tiny tube to observe the whole sky. And if we consist and persist to carry out this model, then this model will become yours and my own religion. Actually, the religion is from this process. So the weakness of religion, it will turn out that it's very difficult to understand the eternal, the absolute truth. Because we already form our own absolute truth. And we use our absolute system to value other stuff, to measure, to assess. We base on this model. So if a person starts to form his or her own religion, always turn out we are easily to judge others. We can measure others by our own rule. And then we'll turn into even worse part is it's going to be very difficult to assess ourselves. we can easily see other people's, what's wrong, what's not right. But then, if we stuck within the religion, we are coming to the position self-assessment become very, very weak and feeble. See, this exactly happened to those disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees. They are in the learning process. And somehow, to some point, they already start to form their own religion. And from that religion, they measure. So once Jesus showed up, they use their own system, their own religion, to measure Jesus. And the question they had brought up is this: John's disciple and our Pharisees' disciples, we always fasting. Hey, this is our religion. The fasting is inside our box. And we use this box to measure you, Jesus, your disciples, actually. They are still disciples. That means they are not really well established. They are still in learning process. They already got their own religion. Today's message is life versus religion. And somehow, if you are pursued in this spiritual journey, because we are human, yes, we are forming our own religion. And based on our religion, if we also, the same token as those disciples, we also try to learn from Jesus, we got our weakness. And these disciples measure that we always fasting. And we fast, we kind of concur to each other. We regard the fasting as a very spiritual, very religious activity. And you don't fall within our category. So you must be something wrong. You are something not right. And that is religion. And as a matter of fact, those disciples of John Baptist and the Pharisees, they criticize Jesus' disciples, say, hey, your disciple didn't do that. We always fast. But we knew, actually, they don't focus or target at Jesus' disciples. They target at whom? They target at Jesus. But Jesus is so kind, I believe, so nice. Jesus should respond. If I were Jesus, I would say, hey, dude, how many meals you have fasted? I have fasted 40 days. You come to question me? See, from this view, then we will see the position of religion. And once we get into that religion, then we will not able really see Jesus. We were not able to receive the revelation from Jesus. From the religion, actually, if you keep an open mind to see the religion, when people go to a high ceiling church building, how you feel? You feel very solemn. It's very religious, right? And then you feel you are small. So a small person come to God, then you feel humble. So if people always experience this type of worship style, then their religion mind already said, if without a high ceiling building, there's no God. That's religion. If a tiny room, God would not stay there. That's called religion. And sometimes religion, they also require some certain costumes. Maybe wear a big head. Then that person is unusual, it's very spiritual, because they can reach a top high. Sometimes their voice, sometimes some gesture, some ceremony, some process, some rule, some action, sometimes even require some emotional performance or some tradition, certain terms that outside the circle people doesn't understand. And if you can talk that kind of terms, oh, you are religion, you belong to us. And if you don't understand what this means, hey, you're probably too far away from God. So you use this religion to qualify other people. As a matter of fact, even people can put philosophy as their religion. Maybe some theory, some ISM. There are so many isms. Those can also become a religion. Even some virtue, some moral standard, those can become religion. And once we allow those religion form inside us, then that become our standard to judge, to measure other people. And those disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees, they already got, even they are just students, they already formed their religion. So they use the standard to measure Jesus. Say, your disciple, they don't fast as we do. See, Jesus usually, when he encountered those people with a very strong and stubborn opinion already about him, Jesus always used what? Parables. So if you look into the Bible, especially gospel book, once the parable brought up, you should know there are some stubborn people around there. They are not able to accept Jesus or what all about his teaching. Then Jesus always used parable. That's not a good sign. That means if you want to find truth, you need to go zigzag, and you are not able to find the truth directly. So Jesus told them that, how can a guest of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. I couldn't even imagine those disciples of John Baptist and Pharisees when Jesus told them. They just confused what this guy talking about. And we knew that actually the bridegroom point to Jesus, he himself. And the guests, that means his disciples. Of course, the bride, we knew that this at that time Jesus already pointed to the church. But he used this occasion to show them that, yes, fasting is great. See, Jesus is always wonderful here. He never tried to kind of attack the Old Testament. He always fulfilled the Old Testament. He concurred the Old Testament because the Old Testament also coming from God. So he meant here is fasting is great, but not should be the right time, the right place, and the right person. But when Jesus came, this is a wonderful time. Everybody rejoice. This is not a time for fasting. Because in the Bible, especially Old Testament, fasting only for three occasions. The first one is extremely sad. And that sadness is coming from someone or even they themselves has done something against God. And that sadness, then they will fast. That fasting, I don't know how many people experience that. But some people, especially parents, they don't need to practice for religion. Sometimes they have their kids so sick, the parents forgot to eat because there's no appetite to eat. They are so sad. They are so stressed. They forgot. The eating is out of the question. They don't care because they only focus on their children. So that is a time fasting, I'm so sad. I have no appetite. So it's naturally turned into fasting. A second one is they earnestly seeking for God, ask God the guidance, ask God for his mercy. And at that time, they fast. And the third one is we call religion practice. They practice and learn through that to know how to get an intimate relationship with God. They try to totally rely upon God, so they fast. So these three occasions is from the Old Testament, we can see the purpose of fasting. So Jesus didn't deny fasting. Actually, he agreed, but he just tried to emphasize the right time and the right place. But again, because there are two questions from those disciples of John the Baptist and Pharisees. The first question is, why you guys don't fast? That's the first question. And second question is, who are you? That's the second question. So there are two parties. They met and they collide. And that turned out that question. Why your disciple, they don't fast? So Jesus answered the first one using the bridegroom. So this is the first parable. Actually, there are another two parables. The second parable is no one sew a patch of unshrunken cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. Jesus used a parable is the new cloth. Actually, in Luke, is even stronger. Say, the new clothes and cut a piece of new clothes off the new clothes and then put it on the old garment. And he tries to say is, now the new clothes been torn apart. And the old clothes, you put the new clothes upon the old garment, and because the strength, the texture is different, they are different. So the new clothes, they can endure stronger strength. But the old garment, they are weaker. So if you put them together, eventually the new clothes will tear up the old one. So actually both of them are useless. And that is actually Jesus want to answer them. You and I are different. You follow the religion path, and that is old clothes. And you ask me, because based on your religion, you want to pull me and fit me into your column, your box. And they don't fit. They don't match. You cannot put them together by force or by any way, by your religion view. And today we try to share with our brother and sister is we, as Christian, we still get the risk. We can still fall into religion. Christianity can be a religion, and that's dangerous. And also the third one, the parable is saying, no one pour new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. No, he pour new wine into new wineskin. Over here, the old wineskin Jesus wants to mention is that old wineskin is not been used for a long time. So that old wineskin actually is dry and crack and fragile. And if you put new wine into the old wineskin, because the new wine may continue to ferment. So if ferment continue, that means it can create gas or carbon dioxide. So the gas inside will burst the old wineskin, and especially with the crack over there, it can burst. And this doesn't match. You cannot put the new wine into the old wineskin, especially the old wineskin is cracked and aged. And Jesus tried to point out is the religion. So from the Jesus' revelation, where religion came from? Religion came from the earth, from the ground. It's not from above. So we need to know all the human effort, whatever the resources, either from the earth or even under the earth. I'm talking about under the earth is from the evil spirit. They are below the earth. So if these two combine, they're called religion. Every effort, actually the whole humanity, if exclude God, Jesus, whatever effort in this human history can summarize as religion. Because people live and they truly believe and they live the way they believe and the action turn out religion. There is only one factor missing. The factor is the revelation from above, God's revelation. And that God's revelation in the Bible, especially the John Gospel, says that revelation is the life. The life. So today's message topic is the life versus the religion. And Jesus wants to use this opportunity to reveal to those people who are seeking the truth. Hopefully, in our church, we don't use religion to deal with people, especially their spirit. We always put religion, because religion is very convenient, extremely convenient. People put religion as manageable, operationable, controllable. They can put it in a case or box, and they can carry it, they can use it, and they can decide not to use it. They can do it under their own control. If there's something coming up, let's have a meeting. And then through the meeting, we can decide. That's manageable. Because we based on these religion guidelines, then we can do the thing that we wish. Life is different. See, we know we have a life. And this life is not we ourselves created. Our life has always been given. See, our life was given from our parents, right? So life is always given. Not that being owned doesn't come in from itself. It's always received, being given. So anyone here, you said, my life, I created, I designed it, so now form this type of life. You never got it. Always been given. So if you can receive or been given the life from your parents, why not receive the life given from God? That's why Jesus came. I give my life to you. And that life called eternal life. So you receive it. That's a life. And that life, you cannot really operate it, control it. You just let the life to live the way the life should be. In the past, not receive the Lord. We live the way that we think we want to. Because we received the life from our parents. And that receiving life is sinful. So we can live a life of a sinner. That's for very naturally. Now, if we receive the life from our Lord, the Son of God, then the Son of God's life can live the way the Son of God should live. So it's not operate. You need to let that life coming out. Let the life of Son of God live the way it should be. It's not that life we can just make, come out with a meeting and set up a guideline, then that life should live this way. No. So a baby when was born, what parents should do? Just keep on feeding. The life inside that baby will live the way it should be. So amaze me is so many Christians, they don't read Bible. They don't need to eat. And they expect the Son of God life will come out. It's impossible. And that is why these disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees, they don't receive the Son of God life. They base on their earthly development, religion, to see Jesus. And that's why eventually they will collide. And eventually they will burst a big battle. If our spiritual journey, you feel that you need to follow certain guidelines, that is only for practice. Jesus never denied the law, the commandment. But those laws, if you became a lawism, then that's wrong. The law gives you the guideline. See, the Old Testament is the law and commandment actually draw people close. And once you get so close to the law and commandment, you will find that law is an index point to Jesus. But many people come to that point and focus on that point. They thought this point can save them. But this point would not. There's no law, there's no Christianity can save anyone. Only Jesus can save. Do you always come to Jesus? Or you only come to certain guidelines, some law, some religion? And when the life talks to the religion does not understand. Only you receive the life, then you will be able to understand what's going on. So I have met some Christian. Boy, they are good. They are great. They are nice. They are the most welcome people in the church by pastor. They behave nicely. They follow the rules. They gave offering. But there's no life. There is no Son of God life in them. See, once, how you define life? Life, the very essence of life is newness. See, we live nowadays because our new cell is more than the old cell dying than we can live. So that even an aged people, he still needed a new cell to come out. If you follow the rule and the religion, you will become an old and never really create life. So if life in you, miracle should happen. Wherever the Son of God life touch people around you, they should turn out alive. That's a life character. You may got some people working with you, studying with you, around you for years, and their life never changed. Maybe your family member, their life never changed. It's because of you. You got problem. Because you got a lot abundant religion, but you don't have life. If you do, you touch them, there should be resurrection. That's a very easy way to verify whether you got the life of Son of God. So, young men, don't look down upon yourself. If you do have the Son of God life in you, you can create miracle. You can touch people's life. You can. You don't need to have a lot of good skill how to speak. No. You don't need that. This is the treasure we receive from Jesus. And so those religion people came to him. They criticized him. Funny thing, you know, if you got religion, you can check with yourself whether you can criticize people very quickly. Oh, okay, you're not qualified because 1, 2, 3, you missed these 3 points, you are not qualified. If you go into that mode, watch out, you may just get stuck with religion, but not let the life of Son of God coming out. This message may be not that easy one, but this is what Jesus wants to say. I hope you pray to him and reveal to you the life, Son of God, and may his life abundantly live through you. Let us pray. Father, we may do many, many things. Maybe we claim that we can do so many things, but one thing we know, we need to admit to you, Lord Jesus, without your divine touch in our life, we need you. We need your revelation. Enlighten us so we may receive the Son of God life, and let your life grow inside us. Help us have that desire to seek for you. And give us the heart to seek your word, the Bible, and pray to you sincerely. And let this wonderful gift, the ever given only from you, be fruitful in our life. And we may be used a blessing vessel to many, many people around us. In Jesus' name we pray.